Well, good morning. How are you feeling this morning? Good choice. Good choice. And if you sort of wake up and it's not quite working for you in terms of that great, magnificent, fantastic, wonderful life, you would simply choose again. Choose again. And you would choose the the importance are, we aren't stuck with the choices that we've made. You know? Choose again. How many of you are in the course of miracles? Choose again. Choose again. I love that. This morning I want to talk about the end result of how it's going to look and how it's going to feel, how it's going to taste, how it's going to smell when we do what I'm going to suggest, which is enter into the kingdom of heaven right here, right now. And this is what it will do if we do this. Don't you like to just go to the end result? You know, just give me the end result, you know, and I, you know. Okay, number one, what it will do, it will raise, automatically raise our level of consciousness. Thereby contributing to the collective consciousness. And as, you know, we're like a part of that 100th monkey thing, you know, like, you know, as we raise our level of consciousness, we go to, you know, like 69, 70, 70, you know, so forth. And when we reach that point of the critical mass, what we've got then is a contribution to the collective consciousness. And when we make that shift in the collective consciousness, what we have then is a new reality. And you see, that new reality is important at this particular point in time in our life, because we have chosen, and I want to thank you for this, actually, we have chosen to be a part of a shift in the millennium. All of us were hanging around during the shift when it was the Piscean era. And for the last 100 years or so, that energy's been you know, dissipating. It has been decreasing. And the Aquarian energy was increasing. And that's why we're here. We are the bringers of, the contributors of the Aquarian energy. Are we not?
Yes.
That's why we're here. I've got this joke. I mean, it's not a joke. I mean, it's the way I... Oh, hey. The way I see it is that for 2,000 years, we hang around, you know, and we're just playing and having fun, and it's great. And then all of a sudden, the light goes on, and someone says, "So, you, the millennium shifters, come on. It's your time to come up. Your time to come down. It's your time to be here, because we are the ones who shift the energy." And you may have not noticed, but frankly, it's a very rough time to be a part of the millennium shift. And yet, as I'm kind of looking around, practically all of us were conscious during the Piscean era. And so we've got a history around that experience, that era, that now is being shifted, and you know, we already are contributing that energy, that Aquarian energy. But this is the year, 2015, in which all of the stuff, in all of the systems, in all of the ways of doing business that worked in the Piscean energy isn't going to work anymore, and so it comes up for us to see it, and then it crashes and burns, and we experience chaos, and then we begin to recreate a new way of being that is compatible with the Aquarian energy. Isn't that fun? I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad we're here on this together, aren't you? You know, because it'd be terrible to have to do that all by ourselves. But fortunately, we come together in a collective consciousness. Okay? We're here together. We're here by divine appointment. And a couple of the things that I find interesting in this shift, a friend of mine has a bumper sticker on his car. And he said, it says on there, religion is for those who are afraid of going to hell. And spirituality is for those who have already been there. Right? And what I find curious and interesting is that folks will tell me in a minute, and a number of folks have told me that there was a time and a point in their life in which they were experiencing hell on earth. And I know exactly what they mean. I know exactly what they mean. That was a rough time, a time that brought them to their knees, a time that they almost didn't think they were going to make it through. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, they made it through. And so they talk very comfortably and easily about, yeah, there was a time when I was definitely living in hell on earth. But you know, when hardly ever does anyone ever say to me that there was a time when they were in heaven, when they lived in heaven. They hardly ever say, if they say to me, and I've had two people say to me, oh, it was heaven. And one was during a massage. And the other one was while eating something called death by chocolate. And it was like... You know, it way different. And I'm thinking what's been going on here is that heaven is where God is. We don't mess with that. We just don't mess with that. Isn't that strange? Because 2,000 years ago, Piscean time, 2,000 years, it brought the Piscean age in that said, and the gospel, good news from the gospel, twofold, kingdom of God is within you. Not up there, somewhere between 11 and 1 o'clock in infinity. Not an old man up in the sky. Within you. And the second part of that is the kingdom of heaven is near at hand. Hmm? The kingdom of heaven is near at hand. And I don't know who did this, but somebody got the idea that that meant that the end of the world was near at hand. No. Not. What we identify it, and as they interpret that now, it is among us. The kingdom of heaven is among us. The kingdom of heaven is all around us. We are the individualized expression of God that is capable and programmed and probably has the purpose of living in the kingdom of heaven. How can we do that without dying? Because we have already come to the reality that says that the kingdom of heaven is not a place, but a... Good. State of consciousness. The kingdom of heaven is a state of consciousness that we've always had, always will have right now. We can live right here, right now, in the state of consciousness called heaven. Some years ago, when I used to live here, Mike Hess taught me a new word. I hardly ever get to use it. It was a big word, and I didn't really have the heart to do it. The word was, wait for it. The word is, what I want you to hold for a moment is that there is the absolute time in which a plethora Was that good or what? Where that plethora of books are showing up. Practice a little bit. It's kind of fun. You know, you get your tongue gets a little exercise with it. A plethora of books that are available all over the planet that record near-death experiences. And the reason that, and now we've had those near-death experiences for a long time, but all of a sudden they're showing up in all of these books because they have been told, when you go back, tell them. Tell them what it's like. Because we need to have some sort of prototype of what it's like to live in the kingdom of heaven, because we have been living in the kingdom of... We haven't recognized who we are. We haven't recognized how magnificent we are. We haven't recognized that kingdom of God that is within us, and we haven't been living from that experience and that expression. We haven't been living in the awareness that we are spiritual beings and this is a spiritual experience. Everything we're called upon to face, we bring a spiritual experience to it, to treat it, to work with it, to embrace it. So here we are. So here we are reading all of this material. And by the way, my favorite of all this material is actually more of a mediumship rather than a report of a near-death experience, is The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. And if you haven't checked that out, I think you might enjoy it, because he's very clear. The life he lived was kingdom of heaven, the kingdom was hell on earth for he and his family. And now he's living in this magnificence and wanted to share it. Tell them, they said, I can tell you, this is what it's like. And of all of the things that I have read, there's seven or eight things that's common. Number one is beauty. The kingdom of heaven is so beautiful. The heaven that we experience in the afterlife, it is so beautiful. The music is so beautiful. The colors are so beautiful. It is always just everywhere you look, everything is beautiful. And so, if we're going to live in beauty on earth, there's a couple of things to look at. And one of them is, can you imagine anything more beautiful than the blue marble that we live on? Anything? Everywhere is some sort of beauty. I mean, you could be a mountain person or a desert person or an ocean person or a lake person, and it's there. But do you know that some people live where they do not think it's beautiful? They've got some sort of story that says, "Oh, I can't live there. I'm stuck here. I can't do that." You know, and I'm suggesting that this might be a good time to go beyond the story and live where you think it is absolutely beautiful, so that every time you go out, you see the beauty of the earth, and it inspires you, and it heals. And then there's our home. As quiet as it's kept, there are some people that do not live in beauty in their home. And they keep saying, their story is, you know, I just got to clear out some of this stuff. You know, I've just got to let go of some stuff. You know, and that's kind of fun. There are stories that you think you have to keep. I keep stuff. You know, I had to realize that I do not have to keep the 9 quilts that my mother made. My mother does not care. And she would rather have someone use that quilt, I'm guessing, at least that's my story. I'm guessing she would rather have someone use that stuff than for me to schlep it around from closet to closet wherever I move in a trash bag. My mom would not want me to resent these quilts that I have that she made. I honor them, and there are people who... Move them on. And the other thing is, if you can't decorate so that it's so beautiful when you walk in, find somebody who can. and have them come over and place your things that you love and that's around. Have them place it and make it in such a way that when you walk into your house, it feels good. And have some friend who will help you organize the garage and the closet. They will. They will. Don't you? All of us want our friends to live in beauty. It's time to move into that beautiful consciousness. It's time to do whatever it takes to raise our own level of consciousness to the place of beauty. And the other thing that they say is peace. Oh, the peace. It is so peaceful here. It is so quiet and peaceful here. And of course it is, because there's no judgment. There's no negative judgment. And the reason that we get all upset and chaotic in conflict is because of our negative judgment. Now the thing is, we can choose in whatever situation it is to be and experience peace. And I think that most of us have a value on peace on the planet. And Gandhi said, be that which you would experience in the world. And if we choose to experience peace in the world, then we have to what?
Peace.
Peace. We have to choose peace in every situation. Okay, I admit, it's easier to choose peace when you live alone. I admit. It is. But if we have chosen to experience peace in partnership, thank you. Thank you. Somebody's got to do it. See that? If we choose to stay in peace, then we cannot go into negative judgment. We cannot go into self-talk about what's wrong, what we did wrong or what someone else did wrong. We can't go there. We just simply cannot go into that conversation. And because judging is a part of why we're hardwired to judge, go to positive judgment. Let's check out this group. You ready? All right. Judge not according to appearances, but judge by
deeds.
Wait, what? I heard it. Who said that? Righteous judgment. What is righteous judgment? See it with the eyes of spirit. Experience it with the energy of God, righteous judgment. Okay? Now, God is
good.
All the time, yeah. Okay. God is good, so therefore, God is everywhere present. So therefore, God is in every situation, circumstance, experience. Therefore, the good, the solution, is in everything. However, we do postpone that. But I would like to suggest that in everything we are called upon to face, because righteous judgment, we see it good. And we call it good and very good. We call it good and very good. Why do we do that? It's our example. Genesis chapter 1. God is ideating, creating, manifesting. Not manifesting, but creating the idea for manifesting. God looks at everything that has been ideated and says, that is
good.
And
very good.
Nice job. Okay. So when we're called upon to face something that is going to be difficult, we immediately go to, well, okay, maybe we're not going to go immediately to it. Maybe we are going to go with, oh my God, that's the worst thing that ever happened to me. That's where we're going to go first. And let me suggest that if you hear that in the self-talk, that you recognize, oh, here's a big one. This one, pay attention. Wake up. Get up. You know, pay attention. It's a big one. And I will also admit that there are times before we get into the good and very good that we may have to say, I can hardly wait to see the good that Spirit has in this situation for me. And I know there's a pony in here somewhere. Exactly. Okay, so good and very good. In order to live in peace, we've got to go with good and very good, because we are always going to judge, but we judge it good and very good, and let Spirit move in it. And the other thing is, when we are in non-judgment, when we are in righteous judgment, all we experience in this aspect of heaven is unconditional love. Pure, perfect, unconditional love. And when we're in unconditional love, and this is what Billy Finger says, is when we are in, I mean, that's all there is. In this state of consciousness, unconditional love is heaven. And there is no judgment. There is no self-talk. Perfect peace, perfect beauty. Now, those four things, does that sound like that's doable? Oh, yeah. It is doable. So that's the basis of the kingdom of heaven right here and right now. When we're conscious, we are doing that stuff. And that brings about the kingdom of heaven. Let me talk about a couple of other things that heaven involves. Not too much, but just, you know, kind of mention it. One of them is a no-brainer, of course, because we're not in a physical body. And therefore, there's not going to be illness, disease, or pain. So we have the opportunity to not experience illness, disease, or physical pain through right of consciousness. But did you know that every diagnosis that someone receives or that is given out that says that this is you have an incurable illness, it's a diagnosis of an incurable illness, do you know that somebody has healed it? Somebody has healed whatever has been called. Okay. In the last service, Sandy Foreman said, I need to get you my book. Healed cancer. Cancer-free. So this can be done. And I would talk about all of the books and I would talk about all of the things that I have read about what people have done, but Google it. Put the diagnosis in, Google it. There'll be everything in there about this is what I did and this is why I am pain-free. And also, what really helps with pain-free is to be pain-free. And they're doing this in the hospitals. What are they doing in the medical world in order to bring us to freedom from pain?
Meditation.
They're meditating. Say what?
Big drugs.
That's all right. The second thing. What's the second thing that they're doing? Meditate. So meditate and pain-free for a period of time, as well as singing. Those of you who sing, are you in pain when you sing? And the answer is no. No, and you get pain-free. And the other is laughing. Okay? All right. So that is healing. That's a healing. No disease, no pain-free. And the second thing is instant manifestation. Now, please know that there are people who are instantly manifesting already, right here, right now. And you are probably one of them. Have you ever said, I'm going to need, fill in the blank. And then you walked out into the garage and there it was. Or you were driving down the street and there was a garage sale and pulled over. There it was. Instant manifestation. Have you ever looked in a pocket of a pair of pants you haven't worn for a long time? I know that you believe and already know that you are manifesting hangers in your closet. Why not? Why not just leap? I mean, is that such a far leap? If you can manifest hangers in your closet to manifest money in your pocket, we could go there. In Canada, we might talk a little bit more about this on Monday. In Canada, there's a young man who's Down syndrome. And he learned how to do everything as a result of example. And when his dad would go in to buy something and he'd be standing there, his dad would reach in a pocket, take out his money and lay it on the counter. So when he was by himself, he'd go in and pick out what he wanted and put it on the counter, and they would tell him how much it was, and he'd reach in his pocket and pull it out and lay it on the counter. Perfect change. That can be done. All right. Instant manifestation. We have the capabilities. Oh, and you know, because that's what's happening, that's what happens in heaven, is instant manifestation. We manifest our total environment in this hereafter state of consciousness. And I don't know about you, but someone told me that we manifest our environment right here. I'm thinking, are you thinking what I'm thinking? I'm thinking I'm going to have to change maybe what I... And if you want to see that in living color, look at the movie called Made in Heaven. It shows a delightful unfolding of how that works. And the bottom line is everything is perfect, just the way it is. There are no mistakes, and everything is unfolding perfectly the way it is. Now, I recognize that it's going to be a lot easier to live in peace once we realize this is perfect, just the way it is. You think that's doable?
Yes.
I think it is too. I think it is too. I think I can practice this. I think we can practice this. And as each one of us practices the presence of God in this kind of physical environment, we spiritualize it. We spiritualize the physical in a way that is the truth of it. That is it. That is the truth. We've been sort of chicken dancing out here on the edge. Time to come into the center, to the center of our being. I will if you will. And you will be a being, a beacon of light right here in to change the consciousness of the planet. We good?
Yes.
Namaste.